The epistle for the third Sunday after Epiphany is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. As far as the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed in that same hour. As for the words of the Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, we look at the words of this Gospel and we see Jesus healing two people. There was a leper, and then the son of the centurion. The centurion is the one I would like to use for today's material, for today's homily. And especially the things that the centurion told Jesus. When Jesus said, I will come and heal him, the centurion said, Don't trouble yourself, Jesus. You can do it without coming. You're an important, busy man. Just say the word. He expressed a tremendous faith in Jesus' almighty power, his divine power. Jesus also has authority. It is not as though he is your buddy. He's in charge of you. He's your master. If we owe obedience to anyone, which we do, we owe it first of all to God. And which one of us can look back at our life and say, I have always obeyed God? No, you haven't. Each time we neglect our duties, or break one of the commandments, we disobey Him. And that is one reason why Jesus was very impressed with the centurion. He was a member of the Roman army. The centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. That's why they get the name centurion from the word for 100. And he had men under him. And if these men would not do what they're told, they're punished by court-martial and whatever kind of penalty that would bring them. And those soldiers know it. And that is why when the centurion told Jesus, "I have men under me, and I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to that one, go, and he goes. And I say to this other one, do this, and he does it." That's because these soldiers, they both honored the authorities above them by their obedience, and they also feared the punishments that would fall on them if they would disobey. If only we so-called Christians would render such obedience to God, the devil wouldn't stand a chance. But as it is, half the time, some of the people even more than half the time, do not acknowledge Jesus' authority to tell them what to do and not to do, nor do they fear the punishments that will come on their heads for disobedience to Christ's authority. And that is why, my friends, it has been the constant teaching and the unanimous opinion of the church fathers that most Catholics go to hell. They don't think it's that important to obey Jesus Christ. If we would take it seriously, what he taught us about hell, the undying fires, being surrounded with nothing but devils and damned souls. If we would think of that when we were tempted, it would give us some motivation to be good. That is what we call imperfect contrition, Imperfect contrition is a sorrow for sins because we deserve punishment. Or, in the case of someone who has not yet sinned, the fear of sin for the fear of the punishment which comes with it. And this is more than likely the main reason why the Roman soldiers obeyed the centurion. They didn't necessarily love the centurion. And it would not hurt us to have the same kind of fear of Jesus Christ. We have only to reflect on what he will say at the last judgment to the damned. "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." With an angry face and an angry voice, which will scare everything that's inside of them out of them. And they will have to turn and flee from Jesus' anger. And there is only one place where they will be able to run, and that will be into hell. And hell is not as much as they deserved. And that's one of the, incidentally, it's one of the torments of hell. They'll get to hell, and they say, okay, I'm suffering for my sins, and I'm going to suffer here forever. But one of the greatest punishments there is that they will never, ever satisfy the justice between themselves and God, no matter how long they suffer, and no matter how much they are burnt. And so they will never have a sense of satisfaction. I have satisfied justice now between me and God. What will happen is they will always completely be lacking of any satisfaction. And when we, some of us go through our lives not thinking about the need to honor Jesus. We need to honor him. Just as a soldier, when he meets a superior officer, he has to salute him. He stops and stands at attention and salutes. Why? Because there is honor due to his superior officer. He is not your buddy. He tells you when to jump and how high, and you do it. And if we do not honor Jesus as we should honor him, we'll be punished. For it is written, God will lead those who fail in their duties, who fail in their obligations, with those who work iniquity. It is the same, all the same, to commit sin or to fail in one's duty. It's all the same to God, because both of them dishonor him. On the other side of the coin, which is the same coin, and both sides are equally valid, we are to be motivated in our service of God by his love for us. So we have two reasons to obey God, to obey Jesus Christ, and to obey all authority which is legitimately set up by him in the world. Number one, because there are punishments for not doing so. And number two, because if we do not, we despise the love that Jesus bears towards us and return selfishness and hate towards him for his love. And this is another reason why hell is an infinite punishment, infinitely in its duration. It's not infinite in other ways, but infinite in its duration. Because the love that Jesus bears each one of us is infinite. And his majesty and his honorability is infinite. And if we do not render the honor which we ought to render him, and we do not return the love which we ought to return to him, then we're worthy of an infinite punishment. And the only infinite dimension given to it is its duration. It's forever. This is the season of the Epiphany. Good Lord showed how good he is to those who honor him. The centurion honored Jesus. He honored him by asking for something that only God could do, to heal someone sick without the natural methods of doctors, which had been exhausted first. We don't go looking for miracles when we haven't even seen the doctor yet. If we can still get to the doctor, we can go to the doctor first, or take whatever remedies that are likely to work. And all that fails, then we might ask for a miracle, but we cannot expect miracles, because God chooses when he will give them and when he won't. Not us. He does give them, but not always. And so the centurion, who had exhausted his resources, was not able to find a cure, went and asked Jesus for a miracle. And Jesus cured his servant, and in the other part of the gospel, he cured the leper. This is how he treats those that honor him. He does good to them. He blesses them. And if the punishments for disobedience and dishonor is in a certain way infinite, the duration of hell, well, then the rewards and the blessings that descend upon those who love him and obey him are also infinite in duration and they're not necessarily infinite in their intensity, but they have to be limited so that they will not destroy us. Because if God did not limit the happiness that his sight gives us in heaven, we would melt down. And so he does. But just enough to keep us from melting down. So let us make ourselves true children of God by our baptism and by our baptismal grace. We receive the right to go to heaven. Let us not despise that. Our baptismal grace is a treasure which we do not deserve, but it is given to us as a free gift from God for having cooperated with the faith and the sacraments enough to be baptized. And now it is up to us to render ourselves deserving of these tremendous gift. Heaven is not for everyone, insofar as there are those who will not appreciate their baptismal grace. Let us not be among them. Instead, let us preserve our baptismal grace at all costs. Yesterday we celebrated the feast of Saint Agnes. She was a Roman virgin martyr. She was being asked to pervert, worship idols, And if she didn't, she would die. She was a Christian, and it was still illegal to be Christian in the Roman Empire, which was a bad law. We don't have to follow the bad laws if they're really bad. The law against the Christian religion is definitely bad. Speed limit, well, that's a good law. And so instead of worshiping idols and or perverting herself, she chose to die. It was not that that's what she wanted, but those were the choices given her. Worship this idol or die. And so she chose death rather than to sin. And so did all the martyrs. Do you think they made a wrong choice? Not at all. They made an excellent choice. And when we choose to commit our sins, whether it be laziness with regard to our duties, not doing what we're asked to do or not wanting to do the things we ought to be doing, breaking a commandment here or there, when we choose to do our sins, we make a stupid choice. And we, if the martyrs that are looking down from heaven at us see us making a wrong choice, a bad choice, imagine what they're thinking. What a pity. And how stupid to commit a sin or to neglect one's duties. So let us have the right attitude. If we are not rendering ourselves worthy to preserve the grace of our baptism, we will lose that grace. And we are obliged then to do our duties and avoid the occasion of sin. In this way, we preserve it. That's our duty. And if we look at it from the point of view of the battle between Christ and Satan, which rages all the time, you are the soldiers of Christ. Those of you especially that have been confirmed. You're not just trainees and boot campers anymore. You are soldiers, full-fledged soldiers of Christ. And that means you're in a fight. You're fighting in the army of Jesus Christ. Against whom? Against the armies of Satan. And how does this fight go? The devil throws his temptations in front of you. He inspires laziness. And he wants us to give in to that, to consent, to be lazy or to follow a temptation. And on the contrary, Jesus and all his good angels, they want us to refuse the temptations and choose instead to be good, to imitate Jesus and all the saints. And when we do that, Jesus' army conquers against Satan's. The army of Jesus Christ advances and steamrollers over the devils. That is your job as a soldier of Christ. Say no to temptation and say yes to my duties, not to be lazy and to be on your toes. Many soldiers fall in battle because they don't pay attention to what's happening around them. When they get blindsided and sucker punched, we have to pay attention. So to conclude, Eternity is at stake, and Christ's honor is at stake in the realm of creatures. And it is up to you and me. What are we going to do? Let's make up our minds. It is not now time to say, oh, well, I'll think about it. Idiot. Get with it. Get on Jesus' side and stay on Jesus' side and fight on Jesus' side. Fight against your own vices, first of all. There's where the devil's advancing. And the good Lord will be proud of you. And he will bless you. In many of the ways that you imagine through these two cures, leprosy, and as the son of the centurion, or the subject, he had the palsy. He was paralyzed. Paralysis because he wasn't doing good things. He was paralyzed with regard to doing good. Lazy, ignorant, stupid, not paying attention. Leprosy, that's the habit of vice. We have to conquer our vices. And we have to do good things. And then Christ's armies advance. And they'll advance because of you. Just as the general and the captains depend on their soldiers doing what they're supposed to do, that's how armies win battles. And that's how Christ's battle will win, armies will win. And if you do your part, the whole world will get to be a better place. And the whole army of Christ will advance. So, soldiers, get going. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.